We came across this article regarding Connecticut's expanded data privacy law and how it's now covering AI training. It says if your company collects data from people in our state, the rules of the game are about to change. It's a sweeping update to the state's data privacy law. It kicks in this July, bringing tighter restrictions on how businesses handle everything from health records to neural data. It says the changes could catch a lot of companies off guard, especially smaller ones that did not think these rules even applied to them. So who do we go to when we talk about anything artificial intelligence? We go to Dr. Vahid Bezadon, who's back on our show. Vahid, I'm sure you saw this article, and I think that last sentence is the one that I want to start with, which is, you know, does this law, this expanded law, pretty much impact the average company, no matter what size, no matter what industry they're in? Do people need to pay attention to this on average in Connecticut?
They do, yes. So as you mentioned, the Connecticut data privacy laws were amended last year during the legislative session, and the effects are going to take hold and take place this July. The expanded privacy law has a number of notable additions, some of which are around artificial intelligence. One of those changes is that any business that collects personal data from Connecticut residents has to tell you, right in their privacy notice, whether they are using your data to train AI systems like ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, or similar technologies. This is a big deal because right now, most people have no idea how their data is being used this way.
Mm. Well, and it's interesting because in this article, it was talking about how the law previously only really applied to companies that were processing data for like 100,000 people, or if there were, you know, thousands of consumers that the company was getting data from and they earned more than a quarter of its revenue from selling that data. So it was, you know, I would say this, the standards were pretty high, or at least they were understandably, you know, at that level. But the threshold is dropping substantially. I mean, I think it said any business that processes the personal data of just 35,000 Connecticut consumers now falls under the law. And so I want to talk about when we talk about data, you know, sometimes, Vahid, we have it in our minds, what is, you know, private data? What is stuff that we don't want being shared with people? But that may not be a full definition of the data we're talking about. So could you kind of dive into that a little bit? When we say that, you know, you're getting personal data, what does that entail?
Well, that's information about how you use the services, information that pertain to your demographics, information that pertains to even things that you do not directly and explicitly provide to the service provider, but the service provider infers directly or indirectly from your interactions and your history of interactions with them and other services, such as whether or not you are a minor, whether or not what your economic background is, what your ethnic background is, what your sexual orientation is, whether or not you identify as non-binary or transgender. These pieces of information are being collected by services that heavily rely on revenue-making items like targeted advertisement, or they work on they provide services which involve decision-making, such as whether or not to allocate resources such as loans or real estate to an applicant. So the range of what constitutes private data and personal data is pretty large. Some items under this range are specifically highlighted in the bill, as far as I can remember. including those specific examples that I brought up earlier.
Well, and Vahid, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is really in favor of the consumer, which I don't hate. Because let's face it, I think information is constantly being shared and we have such little control over who knows what about us. And it could be the simplest thing, my favorite color, for goodness sake. You know, I think that this is really putting, I think, a power in the hands of the consumers, don't you think?
I think that this is a very good first step towards giving the power back to the consumer. There are certain criticisms around the practicality of implementing this law at scale, particularly the notification and acknowledgement segment of the law. I don't know if you've noticed, but every website you go to these days will show you a pop-up about cookies and how they leverage cookies.
Yes, accept all, accept some, or adjust them, or not at all. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those cookie banners pop up on every single website, and we just mash accept because we want to get on with our day.
Right.
No, very few people actually go through the details of those pop-ups. So there's a real risk that AI training disclosures end up the same way, buried in a privacy policy that nobody opens. But here's why this is still different and still important. First, the cookie banners actually did change how corporate behavior behind the scenes. Even if consumers ignore them, companies had to actually audit their tracking practices and create processes to honor opt-outs. And secondly, this specific expanded data privacy law here in Connecticut goes beyond just disclosures. It gives you the right to opt out of profiling and to challenge automated decisions that affect your life, like loan approvals or housing applications. That's a much more powerful tool than just a cookie pop-up. And also, this is why education matters so much. The law gives people the rights, but organizations and media need to help people understand that they have them. The tool is only useful if you know it's in your toolbox.
Totally. Well, it's funny because in the article as well, Vahid, it talked about how the new rule is also aimed at protecting kids. It says controllers can no longer use personal data from anyone between the ages of 13 and 18 for targeted advertising. The previous version of the law only restricted this for 13 to 16-year-olds and allowed it with consent. And so a lot of times you'll just have parents sign off on something. Even if they require a consent, they'll just sign off on it. But the fact that it even expanded up to 18 and the importance, I would think, of parents really reading through what you're allowing your kids to do or not do is significant. It's not enough just to say, yeah, my kid told me about it. I looked through it. I appreciate that they were honest about it. So here, my consent. I mean, you got to, the devil's in the details.
That's correct. So there's quite a bit of concern about AI and kids in general, how minors and younger users interact with AIs in different contexts has been a cause for concern. I believe the governor just proposed a new bill this week or last week requiring AI companies to prevent chatbots from going explicit with kids and clearly label AI interactions. There are the expanded privacy laws, as you mentioned, also bans targeted advertising to minors and strengthens protections for children's data. But this is an area which requires even more attention and even more legislative work. I believe the AG's office, the Attorney General's office, has been very vocal about this, and I know that there are other efforts underway to strengthen protections for minors when it comes to interactions with AI.
Mm-hmm, certainly. Dr. Vahid Bezadun is here, who is our cybersecurity and AI expert on the show. He also is at University of New Haven. And we're talking about Connecticut's expanded data privacy law, which covers AI training. And the fact is, Vahid, it sounds like the average company in Connecticut, regardless of size, if they're collecting data from tens of thousands of people, they're going to be subject to this. And again, it's going to go into effect in July of 2026. It sounds like they're also going to be kind of reviewing the data. So the companies that engage in profiling face a new requirement as well, impact assessments. And I wasn't sure if you felt like, it sounds like a necessary step, obviously. But if, again, you know, we sort of cross our T's and dot our I's, so we put all this language together, we're doing what we need to do, we're providing the tools for people. But if they're not actively using the tools, they're not really impactful. So I didn't know if you could kind of speak to this at all. I can understand needing this new requirement, and I think it's a good thing. But it sounds like consumers certainly have to do their part as well in actually using this tool effectively.
Well, as you mentioned, the compliance thresholds were lowered and they expanded the Connecticut data privacy laws. As you mentioned, businesses that control or process the personal data of 35,000 or more Connecticut residents are covered under this law, but also companies that control or process sensitive personal data in any volume, regardless of the number of consumers or customers, are covered even if they don't meet the volume threshold. And the third group of companies and businesses that are included in the expanded law are those that offer personal data for sale in any amount. So the number of businesses that are that have new requirements imposed on them through this expansion of the data privacy law has increased significantly. In terms of impact analysis, businesses that use algorithms for profiling or automated decision making, like credit eligibility, employment screening, personalized or adaptive pricing, may need to conduct privacy impact assessments and provide opt-out mechanisms for consumers. And with a later start date than what we were discussing before, beginning August 1st of this year, 2026, more detailed profiling impact assessments are required for decisions with legal or significant effects on consumers. This essentially means that existing data protection assessment requirements are going to be expanded, the new requirement is for companies to document what data is used, why it's used, what the potential harms are, what mitigation steps were taken to prevent those potential harms, and how consumers can exercise the rights. When it comes to consumer rights and opt-outs, businesses must now support broader consumer rights, including access. Consumers can now request copies of their data. Consumers can correct inaccurate data, which is a very big deal. In many cases, consumers fall into the seemingly endless trap of being misclassified, misrecognized, as being a member of an incorrect or irrelevant class in interactions with these systems. And now such service providers are required to provide the means for correction to their consumers. Consumers can also request deletion of personal data. And most importantly, consumers can opt out of the sale of personal data, targeted advertising, and profiling used for automated decisions. So the expansion is quite vast, and some would even call it comprehensive in terms of giving the power and control back to the consumer.
Yeah, I think it's a call to action for two separate populations. Obviously, consumers knowing what their rights are and really reading the fine print before you just kind of check and move on. But the other side of it is, I would think, organizations subject to this law, which, again, expanded substantially. As just a reminder, the previous version was for companies that process data on at least 100,000 consumers or 25,000 consumers if the company earned more than a quarter of its revenue from selling data. That has now expanded substantially, the threshold dropping, where businesses that process the personal data of just 35,000 Connecticut people now falls under the law. So the other call to action is, if you're an organization, a company that is subject to the law, I would use the next few months before this goes into effect to review your data practices and make sure you're ready for this big shift. And of course, if you have questions on this in the months ahead, we could certainly continue to have the Heat on the show. He comes on pretty frequently to talk about AI, cybersecurity, all of that. And so if you have specific questions about this, we can certainly have more conversations with Vahid leading up to this law expanding in the summer. Vahid, thank you so much for always giving us the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Melissa.
Of course. And Dr. Vahid Bezadun, again, is our AI and cybersecurity expert right here on WICC.